Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Your word permeate my heart. Let life come. Help me, I receive light from that life that is coming to me this morning. Lord, change my heart, change my mind, transform my mind by a word that is coming. Do a mighty work in my spirit. Ezekiel said that. When the word entered into me, it set me up on my feet. Set me up on my feet, Lord, by your word that is coming. Do a great work. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Shall we receive our pastor with a round of applause? Amen.
Hallelujah. As our custom is, let's zoom into the anchor scriptures. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. I know there's a change in our atmosphere, so don't enter the spirit, please. Let's all stay with me. Hallelujah. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Continue. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in what? Heaven. Continue. Give us this day our daily. Come on, are you with me? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our. And lead us not into temptation. Very important. But deliver us from what? Evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. Second reading. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Psalm 63, verse 1 to 2. Psalm 63, verse 1 to 2. Hallelujah. All right. Now, you know, our last scripture we all read together, right? So, church, let's go. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Where no water is, sorry. No, I'm singing a song in my head. Bring back the glory, Lord Jesus. This is where the Lord gave me the song from. Let's continue. To see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the. Hallelujah. Today we want to continue with our sub-series, When I Pray or The Church Pray. Today's message is titled, Practicing a Personal Prayer Life. Practicing a Personal Prayer Life. We are going to understand the very weight of personal prayer life. A culture that when we were born again, very young, they even have to make a song for us to sing with it. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day. Pray every day. So it's something that we grow with from our youthful or very stage, early stage of our Christian life. Father, thank you. As your word come, let it come with power and might and bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Personal prayer life, per my definition, is the quality time you spend in the presence of God to fellowship with him alone. Listen very well. Now, a lot of people are getting it twisted when it comes to personal prayer time. So, people think that if I join a particular prayer meeting in the evening and I'm praying, it's a, no. Alone. alone. Personal. So there are a lot of people who don't have personal prayer time. A lot of people don't have it. But they pray. They pray. They join. They'll go for prayer meeting with group. They'll go for this, that. No, no. Personal prayer meeting. And personal prayer meeting is very important. In fact, we should promote more of a personal prayer meeting than even corporate prayers. Corporate prayer should not be something that should be placed over a personal prayer meeting. No. Take this from me. So, a time of one-on-one communication with God. One-on-one communication with God. Personal prayer time. Hallelujah. Personal prayer life is a common phenomenon practiced in the Bible, such that it was one of the typical lifestyle of Jesus when he was on earth as man. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Let's read Mark chapter 1 verse 35. One of the typical lifestyle of Jesus was that he always prayed alone. Let's read. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a hot, solitary hot place, and there prayed. In the morning. And if you study scripture, you find that it was the habit of Jesus to be praying alone. Hallelujah. So, personal prayer life is a common phenomenon. You'll find in the book of Acts, where Acts chapter 10, where Peter was in the house, we had a trance. He was praying alone. Are we there? When Paul became born again, converted, the Bible said he was alone praying before Ananias went to him. Are you with me? So there is a common phenomenon in the earth, in the Bible, in the early church, that people always separate themselves and go and what? And pray. Have a quality time with God. And today we're going to understudy. And you know, after this, I'm going to teach you the protocols of personal prayer life. Most of you don't know it. We're going to do it. Yes, as we did the protocols of corporate prayer life. Very important. To be very efficient and effective in quality time with God, you need to have what? But we are going to spend some time in this very concept. Hallelujah. Because it's a great blessing. It's a what? In our second reading, Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, we find out that he always, the whole night, praying with what? God. Jesus spent a lot of time with God. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, our second reading. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. In those days. So there were days that Jesus were always alone in the mountain to what? To pray. Are you following me? So personal prayer time, your personal prayer life is the quality time you spend in the presence of God alone. The quality time. The word underline is what? Quality time. All right. So now let's come. Why should we practice praying alone? That will be the first thing we're going to take. Then we'll come to the blessings of. So let's. When I was saying this in the house, I thank God that I cultivated the habit young. You know, a lot of people are struggling to pray alone. If you have a problem with your personal prayer life, you lift up your hand. Because today we are dealing with your case. Anybody here like that? You are struggling to have a quality time with God. When I talk of quality, I'm not talking about 10 hours. You can even spend 10 minutes with God and it's a quality time. And somebody who spend 1 hour and it's a wasted time. You're going to see that personal prayer life with God is not about time. Let me start the protocols. Yeah. Also, I'm the only person here. All of you have a very good personal prayer life. You will see when we start examining this. Hallelujah. Personal prayer life is a growth model system designed to assist you to grow in, number one, relationship with God. Number two, in our dominion mandate. We are going to examine this one. Follow me very well. Why you must practice personal prayer time with God is that this system was ordained by God to enhance or to assist your spiritual growth system in relationship with Him and in your dominion mandate. In other words, if you don't have a personal prayer life, forget growth. You can never grow spiritually. That's why you see that people have gone to church, they go for prayer meetings. Are you there? Eh? They move from one prayer camp to another prayer camp, to this prayer camp and this prayer camp. And if you meet them, you see their life is empty. They will join this online prayer meeting. Join this one. Join this one. And just so you can see that there's not, you can't see any growth in their life. Then I mean growth, I mean that you can't see number one, a relationship with God. Number two, you can't see man dominion. It is not in, it's not in the, no, no. Your growth in terms of relationship with God and dominion is built from personal prayer life. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Now, let's look at growth. When I talk about growth, most people don't relate to it. Growth in the believer is the essence of the Christian journey on this earth. Everything. See, the reason why you are born again, I'll come there. Growth is a non-negotiable aspect for the believer, such that even Jesus has to go through it to establish it as a requirement. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. I want to show you something. Follow. If personal prayer life is a model to assist you to grow, I want to let you know that the whole Christian life over here is about growth. And because of this thing, Jesus himself has to go through it. Do you think that God couldn't have come as a full being and do what he wanted to do? But he was setting a pace. Let's read. And Jesus increased. Can I, if anybody have an NLT version, let's read it. NLT. Luke chapter 2. Verse 52. Can you get a microphone for the prince, if he has an NLT, or I'll read it over here. The passing is also of the same translation, so yes, let's go. Let him read. Now, listen to what the scripture said. Let me read.
Luke 2:52. Okay. From there, grew in wisdom and
Amen. If you read the passage translated, as Jesus grew, so did his wisdom and maturity. The favor of men increased upon his life. He was greatly loved by God. Hallelujah. So, growth is very important, such that Jesus himself has to go through it to set the path for us. So, if you are born again, if you are a Christian, the reason why the essentials of your Christian life is growth. Christianity is not something that is something that grows. It's an act. It's a group, something that is set to grow. And one of the things that will help you to grow is prayer, personal prayer life. So if you neglect it, you are neglecting growth. Let's move on. One of the reasons why we were not taken when we got born again is because the born again principle is that we need to what? Grow. Why? Because the law of time says that anything that is brought forth into this earth realm must what? Grow. Let's read Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Let me show you something. This time realm, anything that is brought forth, being given birth to, is subjected to growth. So if you say that Christianity is an act of being born, being brought forth, then we expect growth. And I'm going to show you how prayer affects that growth. Are you following me? I'm just laying some principle. So personal prayer life is very important because it affects our growth. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his heart field. Let's continue. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Watch something. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, said, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hast this tares? And he said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? So when the enemy came to show and they saw an evidence of what the enemy has done, the servant said, okay, then why don't we deal with it rightly? Listen to what the master said. What did he say? But he said, nah, least while you gather up the tares, ye root also the wheat with them.
Last verse. The law. Yes, the law. Let both grow together until the what? The harvest. So God sowed a seed, thought, gave birth to something. Do you understand? And the enemy also came to what? Give birth to something. He said, leave it. Because as long as you bring something forth into time realm, it is subjected to grow. Let them grow. So evil can grow. Righteousness can grow. At when the time comes for harvest, we will separate them. So anything that is brought for, that's what, as a Christian, when you are born again. See, when the devil gives birth to a child, they grow. You people don't know. I want to help you. If you go to, now ahead is currently going on to Eastern region, on this Eastern corridor region right now, there is a school of fetish priests. And a test of their growth is the ability to which they can demonstrate their power. You find somebody who is 6 years or who, a young guy who has been enrolled in that fetish school for 3 years, and the child is able to do something because of the process of what? Growth. But when you get a Christian who is born for 2 years, that Christian cannot even deal with personal headache. That did you just, I saw one of the videos of that did you? He said that the person you are competing with has gone for something. What have you gone for? And what is funny is that what is in you is greater than the person, but you don't have the knowledge, the requisite knowledge, what? Bring it out. So he has the knowledge on how to manipulate their own. They'll do it against you. So the only way, when I talk about growth, follow me. So the law of time says that anything that is brought forth into this time realm is subjected to growth. Into growth. Why? Because if it doesn't grow, it means that it doesn't exist. The presence of life is growth. Let's move on. The evidence of life in anything is the presence of growth. Because dead things don't grow. If we therefore have the life of God in us, then growth is inevitable. I'm laying a foundation. I said prayer, personal prayer life, affects our growth. And what is growth? Because most believers don't know when we talk about growth, the very essence of growth. The presence of growth is the evidence of what? Life. Does this phone grow? Because it doesn't have what? The microphone, will it grow? Is it in Yonyam beautifully there? In the next 4 months, you see something. And you see that she will begin to change in what? Stature. Why? Because of what? The presence of what? Life. And we say we have the life of God. Is that not it? Let's read scripture. Maybe you may think you don't. Do you have the life of God? Let's read 1 John chapter 5 verse 11. Maybe you believe, you may say that you don't have life. If there is life in something, that thing cannot escape growth. It is compulsory that thing has to grow. The only way you not grow is that there's no life anymore. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal heart, and this life is his sort, son. So if you are a Christian, you are born again, life is at work in you. And because of that life, it places a demand on you to what? To grow. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me? So because of the need to grow, the need, because of the life at work in us, demands that we grow. Are you following me? Prayer is needful to help us what? Achieve it. Life of God at work in the believer is a product of the Spirit and the Word coming together. Now, I'm coming to a point now. How life is produced and how is life is sustained and how prayer finds itself over here. Life, the life of God, is a product of the Spirit of God and the Word of God coming together. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 5. Let's read. Are you reading a lot of scriptures? Yes, because I cannot just be here saying stories. I have to show you where it is. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? What? Water. Do you know the Word of God is compared to water? By the washing of what? Their sins. The Word of God as what? Water. And of what? The what? Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now let's go verse. Next one, 6. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what?
So how do we receive the life of God? The life of God comes upon us when the Spirit and the Word come together. Follow me. And how do we know that a man has received the life of God? John chapter 1 verse 4. John chapter 1 verse 4. If you want to know that man has received the life of God, this is the evidence. Follow. In him was what? And the life was what? The light of men. Are you with me? So if we know, if we want to see the life of God in a person, we trace light. Do you know when a believer commits something or commits a sin, it becomes a whole issue? Eh? It's because of this scripture. There's light, there's sin. When you see a born again Christian, eh? There is a light. In fact, those who are in the spirit realm, I mean the occult, they tell you that spiritually, when you see somebody who is born again, there is a light that emanates from their forehead. Because when there is life, the life of God, wherever the life of God is, there is light. And that is the product of what? The Spirit and the Word. No wonder in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, after the Holy Spirit has brooded over what? The surface of the earth, God spoke, which is his word, and there was what? Light. Means that at that point, life was released and the light came. Are you following me? Now, if the Spirit, are you with me? If the Spirit is required and the word is required to bring life, which is an evidence of growth, how do we contact the Spirit? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the what? Fellowship. Fellowship with the what? The Spirit. In other words, the more we enter in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, which is an act of prayer, the more life is generated. The life in us becomes greater, comes out, and people see more light. So if the believer does not have fellowship with the Spirit, what it means is that the light will not be seen. The reason why it is required of us to let our light shine is because the light comes from the very life of God. And in that, establish the evidence of God in a person's life. Do you know that everybody lost life? Eh? You know everybody lost life. You know right now, people are doing everything best to get what you call anti-aging, anti-what? Anti-what? Aging what? Product. So that they can... I said if there is a way people can pay to prolong their life, people will do it. I think Israel has baptized in Union. As expected. Hallelujah. Amen. People love life. So it is our light that will draw them to the true love and the true life. And this is as a result of prayer. Prayer aids our growth and personal prayer life. Are we there? So now, if you are here and you refuse to grow, what you are saying is that you are rejecting the life of God in you. Or you are refusing to live. In other words, if you refuse to have a personal prayer life, what you are saying to yourself is that I don't subscribe to that life of God in me. It's dangerous. Is it not dangerous? If you are here and you said, I do not want to have a personal prayer life, what we are saying is that I am refusing what? Growth. And I'm rejecting the life of God in me. I want to continue in my own life. This is where people get up and they want to do their own things. Do you know that if indeed you have a personal prayer life, you will find out that you don't make decisions for yourself. Anytime you find a believer in a state of confusion, check their personal prayer life with God. Because if the life of God is at work in you, eh? If you keep feeding that life in prayer, the growth will be so, because it is God who orchestrates your growth. The Bible says, for the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. How is it done? A little here, a little there. A little here, precept upon precept. Through personal time, quality time with God, God will begin to navigate the life. There are many people who, if you study the life of people like Kenneth Hagin, they didn't have the opportunity like all we have now that people could teach them. But if you find the kind of things they were learning, you find that somebody somewhere was navigating their life. But today, we think that we can just give up, do what we feel like doing, and that is all. No. That is why your life is not a reflection of what the kingdom is about, because you don't have quality time with God. So, to the extent that people even believe that waking up to pray is a waste of time. Don't let the devil rob you. I want to move on. I'm just laying foundation. Now, growth is intentional, even including physical growth. Yes. So don't think that if you refuse to do it, it will work for you. It's intentional, including physical growth. If you don't eat, will you grow? Hello, who has grown here because for not eating? When you were born, you never fed, you didn't eat, and then you became like this. Is that how it happened to you? Is that how it happened to you? Growth is intentional. So even though life is in you, growth, you have to, it's intentional. Even physical growth, you have to be intentional about it. If you want to put on weight, there is a way you eat. If you want to increase height, there is a way you can eat. It will affect it. There are certain foodstuffs they can give you to change your course of. If you see my picture 5 years ago, and you see my picture now, you give glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Because it's intentional growth. So, how does prayer affect, or what models does prayer affect our growth with God? Personal prayer, number one. Personal prayer life helps in developing our spiritual organs and systems through spiritual exercise. So the first way personal prayer life will start affecting you is that it will develop your sense of what? Organs. Do you know that your spirit has sense organs? Do you know that? And I'm going to show you those who have their sense organ developed. There is a mess, something God said about them. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. But strong meat belong to them that are hot of what? Full age. I mean, they have grown. Even those who, by reason of use, have their senses what? Exercised. Means that they are able to use their what? Senses. Spiritual senses. And the Bible calls them that people are hot of what? Full age. Now, how do they do it? To discern both good and what? Evil. If your spiritual senses are not, you're not able to exercise your spiritual senses, what it means that you cannot discern what is what? Good and what? Evil. And it's an evidence that you have not grown. How is that done? It is personal prayer life. So when you begin to have a personal prayer life with God, your spiritual senses begins to what? Develop. I'm going to show it to you in scriptures. Follow me. Now, do you know that in nature, naturally, it takes both food and exercise to grow? Whenever you eat, you can ask the medical doctors over here or the health practitioners. If you eat without any form of exercise, there will be an imbalance in your growth. Exercise is not about lifting metals and all those stuff. Am I lying? Walking, all those things you do. If you eat and there is no balance in exercise. So if you feed on the word of God or you study the word of God and there's no balance, there can be. Because it takes the Holy Spirit and the word working together to release light. Now let's read the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7 to 8. But refuse profane and old what? Wives, fables. And exercise thyself rather into what? Godliness. Exercise. The Bible says you should do what? Exercise. Now that is verse 8. Say, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is what? Profitable unto all things. Having promise of what? Having promise of what? The life. That now is, and of that which is to what? Come. Have you seen it here? That when there is a godliness, which is an exercise, and godliness is what? Bringing forth the God nature in you. Prayer is one of the acts of godliness. You exercise. Exercise. Something that will stretch you. Exercise will stretch you. That is why when you started praying, you remember that those days it was only 5 minutes now, your words are finished. You are tired. You don't know what to say. Then you continue. It is not easy. Especially personal. You see, even in our days now, getting a small time for God is not easy. Imagine you get up in the morning to go to work. You get up at 5 o'clock. You are late. Accra traffic. Off to work. You will close work. Let's say if you are fortunate enough, around 4 or 5. By the time you get a car, if you don't have your own car, by the time you get a car, we're talking about 6 o'clock there. And then you meet the goodness of the traffic again. So by the time you get home, you are getting home around 8, 8:30. Tired and exhausted. You freshen up. By the time you realize you're on your bed, when the bed turn about 5. It continues. It will take an intentional decision to get yourself involved in an exercise. Godly exercise profits. The body will align soon. You think me, I'm the night type. I can stay throughout till somewhere 2, 3 a.m. You think we started way up. You study throughout the night and be praying throughout the night. It became part of me. You think me, I don't like sleep. I love it. But the body, godly exercise. So the first thing is that when you begin to have personal prayer life, God begins to what? Train your senses. Daily communication with God helps you to develop your spiritual senses and systems in order to be effective and efficient in communication with Him. John chapter 10, verse 27 to 28. Daily communication, you learn to know how to communicate with God. Now, hear what he said. My sheep what? Hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep know, hear my voice. Those of you who may have seen the headmen and the cattle, you understand the scripture very well. Have you ever seen it before? The headman can just be here at a distance and just give a whistle. The cattle will know that this is the master calling it, and it will come. It didn't start because of continuous engagement. In the midst of chaos, you can hear the voice of God if your senses are well trained. The problem with you finding it difficult to go to God for help is because you don't know whether when He speaks you hear or not. And you cannot hear because you didn't allow personal prayer time that you will grow with God and know when He speaks. Because I tell you, the voice of God is not in Bezo. Do you know how He tricked Elijah? He came like wind. He was not in the wind. He came like earthquake. He was not there. He came like fire. You know, they said there's still small voice. Sometimes a phrase is what God is talking to you. How did Francisca know that God was talking to her? How? She said, grace. That is all. But you are waiting to hear. Meba, meba. Yeah, you wait. That's why personal prayer life, that's what going to show. When you become born again, that when you are young in the Lord, one of the things, the reason why you are encouraged to do quiet time is because it trains you to what? Develop your sense organs so that you can be like a sheep, not a goat. Goats don't hear. Goats are stubborn. Sheep, they are not like that. So your ability to hear, your ability to see, ability to know, feel, touch, smell is influenced by the quality time you spend with God alone, especially praying in the spirit. And I've just mentioned all the six senses of the believer. The believer has the smell. And I've spoken about all these things over and over again. So you know what the smell means. The ability to discern. So if you are somebody who spend quality time with God, when you go to a place, you can discern that this is not God. Something in you will trigger. I said, no. Even though it will look very good, it will look perfect, but because your sense of smell is very high, you can smell evil. The Bible said that a wise person can smell evil ahead and take covering. You are able to see. See, we are talking about light, understanding. Oh, yes, I see this. When you say we can see in the spirit, it's not like your eyes is physical. No, no, no. When you say you can see in the spirit, it means that you are able to understand things. You have some understanding, clear understanding about matters that people don't know. Talk about you knowing. Knowing is that knowledge you have not because you read. It just comes from you. It takes training. Can you act on that? You see, do not, most of the time, it is out of the knowing that God leads us. Sometimes God will tell you to do something. It is out of the knowing. You can't argue it. Because when it comes, there's no evidence. How can you tell a person in a dream that just get a stick and design it, put it in front of animal, and that's your prosperity? Does that make sense? You go and share this with somebody else and say, since when did this become a business idea? Are you with me? So God, the benefit of personal prayer life is that it trains your spiritual senses such that you can be able to what? Fellowship with God well. Don't be kind of like Samuel. See, some of you, if you don't take care, now the allies you have, they are even worse than. Samuel was a young man. What was the first thing that God trained Samuel with? He trained him to what? Hear him. If you are here, you cannot hear God. Your spiritual sense means that you don't have a quality personal life, prayer life with God. You don't know it. Because when you spend that quality time with God, you begin to speak. That is why David said in the book of Psalms, our text scripture we read, 63, said, I seek thee, I pant for thee. Can you know that? Do you know that there is a direct correlation between the growth of your senses and your desire for the things of God? If your personal prayer life is very good, you always want to go and hear God.
I'm being serious with you.
If a man's pursuit and desire for the things of God, as even Peter said, that as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk that you may grow, it is all based on your spiritual senses. As much as your spiritual senses becomes very active and strong and high, your desire. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirst for thee. For thee, my flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and what? Test land. Where that no what? Water is. I'm saying that when your spiritual senses are getting high, your desire for God also grows. I did a little observation with my son. When he was growing, I noticed that while he is growing, because of the clarity he's having in terms of his eyes, okay, he's able to know that this thing is this. I like this. I don't like this. Last time I tested him, I placed a phone before him and I placed a toy car over there. He chose the phone because he likes what he sees on the phone. He didn't mind the toy. But when he was young, if I placed both of those things before him, he doesn't even know how to do. And as time goes on, I know very well that if I'm going to get something for him, he will want something that he ought as a result of what he can see. These technology children, they know everything. Very soon, he'll be more interested in my tablet than those that we're going to use. He will not do it. Why? Because his senses is growing. He can see what we are doing with this. He likes what he's seeing, so you desire it. You see that you cannot see that there are certain sweetness in God. That's why you're not pushing for it. The height of your spiritual senses correlates to the way you pursue God. Because if you can hear God, you will always desire to hear him because the voice is sweet. When you get to a point where a quiet time, prayer time, your personal prayer time with God, when you get to a point where you feel hungry, if you don't pray, that's the point where your spiritual senses have reached its maturity. When you are at the point where you feel guilty if you don't have your quiet time, you have not gotten there yet. When you don't hear God a day, I said, "Oh, you baby." See how you don't hear the voice of that young man, you're not okay. When you don't hear the voice of that lady, you have drawn a quiet time with her. You can have a quiet time for 2 hours, 3 hours. The voice suits you. Everything is saying. The question is that the same way the voice of God? But do you know that the voice of God is even more sweeter than that voice? The reason why you are not able to enjoy it is because your senses have not grown to what? Admit it. I pray for you. You see, this is why if you are raised in a place where they don't place premium on you and God alone, personal life, prayer life, you have issues. Because you grow religiously and you get to a point you don't know how to relate with God. So you don't know how to work it. So you give up on Christianity. Many people who have been knocked out of the Christian journey is as a result that they didn't develop their spiritual senses. I've dwelled here for long. So, one of the way personal prayer life help us in our growth is that it develop our spiritual senses. I pray for you. Anytime you go before the presence of God, you lift up your voice and begin to worship him. May you begin to hear him. May your ears be sharp. May your eyes be brighter. May your senses be activated in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, when there are 1,001 voices speaking, you will still know that this is the voice of the Lord. Even in the turbulence, you know that this is God speaking. Even in that chaosness, you know that God has spoken. Can you just believe that a man called Ezekiel was sitting in a serious adversary? The Bible said they were in captivity, sitting at the river, and everybody, the place was noisy, yet that man was able to have a revelation of God. And the Bible said they saw heaven open, and there were a group of people all sitting there, but they didn't see heaven open. There was a man called Elijah, and he had a servant. When the enemy came after them, the servant was already in fear. The servant already gave up, but a man who has his spiritual senses activated saw what was on inside her. Your fear is the reason because your sight is not good. Because when your eyes are open and you know that greater is he that is in you and that the angels of God have surrounded your life, you will not let that little thing threaten you. I pray that in your closet, you will not be asking God for visa, but you will be saying that, "Lord, as I fellowship with you, let my senses grow, let my seeing increase, let my knowing grow. That, Father, in those days, when it becomes of me that I need to hear you, I will not struggle." When God speaks, now will you know? There can be 1,000 voices. How will you know God is speaking? Sometimes you can, you see, sometimes you can be caught up in a serious situation, emergency, and you need God's voice. Pastor will not be there. Do you know that God will speak? How will you know he's speaking? The reason why some people can sleep in their trouble, it's because they heard God. So one day, Isaac decided to leave because there was drought. But he heard God and he stayed there. I believe the friends of Isaac would have come to him and said, "Charlie, everybody's leaving. You have the opportunity. You should leave." The reason why he didn't leave because he heard God. The question I want to ask you today is, what have you done because you heard God? The things you are doing, did you hear God? I'll know your seriousness when I know how you are able to what? Work with the things that your senses, spiritual senses. You can't fall in the same trouble that the unbeliever is falling in. Where is your sense of smell? You're not able to discern, perceive evil. Point number two. Growth. Personal prayer life help us to grow in appropriating kingdom realities, into brackets, the will of God. Kingdom realities are the will of God. It takes personal prayer life to be able to appropriate it. In other words, it takes people who have quality time with God to know God's will, number one, and how to appropriate his will. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 39. Jesus came on earth, came as man, subjected under the full control of God. How did Jesus execute the will of the Father? Let's read. Then came Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, sit ye here, I will go and pray out yonder. Let's continue. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful, very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. The next verse. And he went a little further, personal time with God, and fell on his face and did what? Church, and did what? Saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I ought. Not as I ought. Oh, help me. Not as what? But thou wilt. Jesus didn't do that prayer meeting with Peter and Co. He took them with them. He took them with him. I listen. But he separated himself. You will never know the will of God for your life if you don't spend quality time with God. Yes, that's the truth. You will never know. It takes personal prayer time that you are able to know the will of God and appropriate it in your life. Jesus, the one we are following, knew the will of God through prayer. You are here. You are reading books. Listen to philosophies. Listen to what people are saying. You have never taken any decision on your own because God said, do this. Everything you have done in your life, my father said, my pastor said, and I read in this book. You are not serious. And you become like that if you have not trained. That is why when you are born again, the training you need from the beginning is how to what? Have quality time with God alone. Else, you can never walk in the will of God. You can never walk in the will of God. Jesus got to pray the will of God through. Do you know that the book of Matthew chapter 6, the prayer model he taught them over there was a personal prayer life? Matthew chapter 6, the prayer model over there is for personal prayer life with God. And in that, he taught them that thy will be what? Done. Pray in this manner that thy will be what? He didn't say read. Said, pray in this manner that thy will, as it is in heaven. Don't be deceived. If you don't have personal prayer time with God, I am telling you, on authority of scripture, you will never discover the will of God for your life. I'm not the one here to tell you what God wants you to do. My job is to guide you to know the will for yourself. Yes. I'm not God's spokesperson in your life. The Bible says in the sundry days he spoke to prophet, but now everybody have equal access to hear God. So be here and be expecting. See, when you are young, that's why when you are young, there are certain decisions that your parents will take for you. But you are expected to grow to make certain decisions yourself. Some of you, your father didn't tell you when to lose your virginity. You took that decision yourself. Your mother didn't tell you. They didn't even know. Some of you, your parents bet on you. They sworn on you that you know nothing. But you and I here, before God, a man, as a witness, you took that decision long ago without them knowing. It's true. One of the things that your father and mother will not tell you when virginity, you don't, because you are grown enough to choose when to lose your virginity. That's your decision. Some of you, the course you are reading right now, or the course you read in the university, your parents even don't know the name of it. But you are in church. You expect pastor to tell you everything. You are in church. You expect me to tell you what to eat, where to go, when, how much to give, how to pay tithe. Me, wait. you'll be taking that kind of life. You're waiting for him to tell you how much to give God. Does your father teach you how to spend your money? When you have personal time with God, you know the will of God for your life. Let nobody deceive you. Let nobody deceive you that the will of God is in philosophies and everything. No. I'm talking of not your general will of God. I'm talking of you personally. You. The details of what God wants you to do. My decision to do what I'm doing over here was not because somebody told me. I always say this. Daddy Joe didn't ask me to come. I took the decision. And I took the decision because God told me to do so. And because it is God, God has been always defending his word. Anytime you are doing something that it requires your full energy to do it, number one, evidence is that God was not part of that. And number two, it's not God's will. Number three, it means that you didn't have a quality time with God to know. Are we learning something today? So don't trivialize personal prayer life. That's why we go for retreats alone. You can go for a retreat in a group, but learn to go for a retreat alone. Spend good. You come there. Protocols of personal prayer life. I don't know what God wants me to do. Have you gone to spend time with him? He didn't tell you what he wants you to do. Have you gone to spend time with him? Some people can say this. I just watched them and said, no. This person. I'll just look at him and shake my head. Should I change the message? Do you know that our full access to the seven dimensions of the Spirit of God is because when we know the will of God and we want to appropriate it? The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of might, it takes prayer to appropriate them. It takes prayer. Many people have become victim of the things because they didn't pray. They just move, boom. Because this is of very essence. The book of Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. Let's see what Epaphras was doing. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently in what? For you. In what? In prayers. He's laboring in prayers. That what? That he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of what?
God.
Epaphras was not preaching for them. He was praying for them. He was laboring. And do you know that this is a prayer topic? You can be laboring in prayer to stand perfect. Not that you are laboring. Do you really get it? Not that you are laboring in another thing. You are laboring in what? Prayer. To stand perfect and complete in the will of God. You can never appropriate kingdom realities. You can never appropriate them. You can never appropriate kingdom realities if you don't have a personal prayer time with God. Jesus, they didn't do group prayer meeting. So we have to know where corporate prayer is needed. Don't turn all your prayer life into group prayer. That is coming the trend, though. And I tell you, there are systems designed to make you that occupied. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., there is always a ministry online praying. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you said I'm like, check. It's a good thing. So some people, NSPPD is their quiet time. They wake up in the morning, they plug their earpiece, they are praying through. If that is the quiet time you are doing everything, then you are not serious with your life. Do I say shouldn't join that prayer meeting? It's good. That is a corporate anointing. You know what corporate anointing does. But if you want to know the will of God for your life, personal will of God, you want to quality time, it's not that place you get. So you must make decision to have personal. Number three. Let me move on. Personal prayer life help us in our growth through transformation. Growth through transformation is caused by personal prayer life with God. It's not, yes. Second Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. Let's read. But we all, with an open face, doing what? beholding. That's the key word over there. As in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from what? Glory to even as by the Spirit of the Lord. David said in the book of Psalm 60 that to behold your glory. I have come to your sanctuary to do what? Behold. Anytime we go to the sanctuary of God, it is an act of what? Communication. Paul is saying that anytime we behold God, what happens is that we are changed from what? That image we are seeing over there to become that image. Do you know that your daily encounter with God affects your thinking pattern, affects your heart? And that is where transformation starts from. Be transformed by the renewal of what? Mind. So the Bible said, no, our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't walk against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God by pulling down of what? Strongholds. That means that as more you spend time with God, the mighty weapons of God deals with your thought. Show me a person who spent quality time with God over a period, and I'll tell you how the person's thinking pattern changes. Show me a person who spent quality time with God, and I'll show you how God touches the heart of the person. Next week, I'm going to talk about the principle of transformation, the principle of exchange, as part of the personal prayer life. And you know that anytime you come before God, God takes something from you and gives you something. When you come to God, He will take the anger from you and give you tolerance. That was the day that you said something, you have a quiet time. That was the day somebody will provoke you and you see that you don't know, but something came upon you to exercise. I always tell you that the day you wake up and you don't pray, that is the day you mess up a lot. Check in your life. You are very sober when you have quiet time with God. You know, I don't easily provoke. Do you know why? It's the principle of exchange. I'll talk about it next week. When you have personal time with God, He takes something from you and gives you something. Every day. Take something, give you something. So, personal prayer life brings about transformation. If you want to see a person transformed, let the person be subjected to personal prayer life. Daily communication with God, quality time. It's just a matter of time. You see the person conforming to what he or she is seeing. I pray for you. You see, so if you get up as a Christian and say that, me, I don't want to pray, me, you are in hurry. Do you know what you are doing to yourself? I've already said this, that anytime you are refusing to grow, you are refusing the life in you. It means that you are declaring yourself dead. So anytime you refuse your personal prayer life, you are refusing your senses to grow. You are denying yourself the ability to know the will of God for yourself. You are denying yourself the transformation that comes from personal time with God. I tell you, you will pay the price heavily. You can come to church. That's why I said there are people who have been in church for years praying, but because they don't have quality time with God alone, they are paying the price. Christianity is not a scam. If you skip processes, you forsake principles, you pay the price. Because the way of the transgressor is that. Number two, I've given you the first thing that personal prayer life gives you. It causes what? Growth. It's a growth model. We grow in our senses. We grow in appropriating the will of God. We grow in transformation. Change day by day. It is personal prayer life. Number two. Personal prayer life is a daily life sustaining principle. This is one of the dangerous things. When I was studying, I discovered why you should not joke with spending time with God on a daily basis. Even if it is 10 minutes, do it. If it is 10 minutes, do it. Why? Because personal prayer life is a daily life sustaining principle. Now, how is life sustained on daily basis? Life is sustained on number one, deliverance. Number two, protection. Number three, provision. And number four, preservation. These things, you need them on daily basis. Daily deliverances. Daily protections. Daily provisions. And daily preservation. It takes personal prayer life to have access to those things. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11 and 13, let's read again. Let's look at something. When Jesus was teaching us the model of prayer, let's see the things that was in that model of prayer. Give us what? This day our monthly bread. Church, our monthly bread, right? Give us this day our yearly bread. What did he say? Oh, can I hear you? What is that? Was it not in a prayer? Now continue. Huh? And forgive us our debt as we forgive out our debtors. Continue. And do what? Lead us not into what? Is that not preservation? Continue. Then that's what? And deliver us from what? It is personal prayer life that will ensure these things for you on a daily basis. An efficient and effective communication with God provides protection, provision, deliverance, and preservation. Because this world operates on the mystery of iniquity. When we talk of iniquity, mean lawlessness. This world system operates under the throne of iniquity. Psalm 94, verse 24. When Adam sinned, he passed on the authority to govern this world to the devil. And the throne that the devil sits on to operate is called the throne of iniquity. It occupies everywhere. I'm going to show it to you. Lift up thyself, thou judge of earth. Render a reward to the... Psalm 94, verse 24. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yet the Lord God shall cut them off. Verse 24. Verse 24. I'll check it and get it to you. I'm coming. There is a throne. Psalm 94, right? Check Psalm 92 for me. Or... come in. Let me continue. I'll get a scripture for you. So, there's a throne called the throne of iniquity. And when there's a throne, it means that there's a king. And there's a territory that he governs. The devil sits on the throne called the throne of iniquity, lawlessness. And lawlessness governs the entire world that there's no space. Lawlessness, wickedness, lawlessness. Now, do you know that lawlessness has taken over everything in this world, that there is a schedule for evil in every day? There is a schedule for evil in every day. So that's why when you woke up today, you don't have a time with God, you are in trouble. Let's go to Psalm 95. You see it. Psalm 95, verse 5 and 6. Let's see the schedule of evil. Lawlessness. So what I was talking about, Psalm 94, verse 20, the throne of iniquity. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? So the throne of iniquity is what the devil sits on, and it occupies everything in this world. Because it occupies everything in this world, it sponsors evil. There's a schedule every day. There's a schedule for evil. Let's read Psalm 95. You today, watch. Psalm 95 verse. That's Psalm 95. Psalm 91 verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by heart. So terrors work at night. Terror. Terrific things. Terror. So at night, things that work The throne of iniquity, what it promotes is terror. So if you have escaped night, let's see what happens in the next. Continue. Nor for pestilence. Go back, let me see. Go back. For terror by night, nor for the arrow that filled by hot day. So if the devil didn't get you by the terror of the night, in the day there are arrows that are hot. Flying. Throne of iniquity. So if because of the throne of iniquity at work, there is schedule for evil in every the whole day. Now let's go to the next one. So you have, if you have escaped night and you have escaped the day, let's check the next. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wasted at what. So be here and take your life for granted. Do you know why 24/7 we hear evil news every day? Because the devil has scheduled every day that evil will run through. So there's a saying I can say, Adia China say antien semonia. Because the throne of iniquity is at work. Therefore, the devil is. The throne of iniquity was set in place because the devil is against humanity. He wants to make sure that God's favorite creation, he will destroy it. So he has made sure that there is sufficient evil in the day. Sufficient evil in the day. Matthew chapter 6 verse 34. Jesus himself said it. Matthew chapter 6 verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil word. If you read other translations, it says, for every day has sufficient evil that operates in it. Personal prayer life is our life insurance policy. Sustenance of life. Because the devil, 24/7, there is something that is working to make sure that he destroys you. The devil is against humanity. If you are born again, you are the target. You are the first target. You know why? Because you have power to stop him. So he'll come after you. But everybody, the devil is against us. But do you know how we escape? We escape. Psalm 68 verse 19. Find out. Because the devil has set the day to run under total evil, God also has made a provision for our escape. Psalms chapter 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily load us with what? Even the God of our heart, salvation. Because evil is scheduled to operate daily, God has also scheduled our benefits for what? Daily basis. What is the point I'm trying to make over here? God's daily benefit is meant for our immunity, our covering, our provisions, and everything. It's on daily basis. The point over here is that it is on daily what? Basis. What happens if today you didn't have time with God? Because the things of God are in the spirit. But you know that he has given us all things pertaining to life. And they are what? Spiritual. We assess them from the spirit. It is prayer that is able to help us to enter into the what? The spirit. We are sending the spirit through what? Prayer. So it means that the daily benefit has been credited in your spirit realm. You are able to download it through what? Prayer. Personal time with God. God releases them to you. Therefore, if you woke up today and you decide not to have quiet time with God, or spend quality time with God, what you are saying that, God, I have no need of your benefit today, and therefore I am ready for whatever evil is signed up for the day. So when you refuse to have quality time with God And I said, quality time does not mean not 10 hours. I said, 10 minutes can be a quality time with God. And it is enough. Personal prayer life is a non-negotiable too. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Do you hear that? Because his compassion failed not. Next verse. They are new every what? Morning. Great is thy what? Faithfulness. It is the Lord's message that we are not. So the day you don't pray, you say, Lord, I can handle myself. Be playing with your life. The day you don't spend time with God. So, in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 3, the Bible says, for God is faithful. The faithfulness of God, he explains that he will establish you and keep you from all evil. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. God is faithful. So the day you don't pray, what you are saying is that, Lord, today I have the sufficiency of life. I don't need you. I pray for you that that day, the terror of night will not find you. Because if the terror of night finds you, that's why somebody will sleep today. Terror of the night will sleep. You wake up, he says he's dead. Do you know what happened? The terror of the night visited that person. Somebody will be walking and then the person will just collapse. An arrow was shot at the person. Somebody will just go bed and woke up and there was a pestilence, sickness. Doesn't know where it came from. In the noonday, it was released. But the Bible said, because of the mercies of God, we are not hurt, consumed. Because daily basis, we have it. And Jesus said that we should go to God for our daily what? Prayer. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 2. Yet they seek me what? Daily, and delighted to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They get delight. They take delight in approaching to what? God. They seek me daily. I pray for you that you would cultivate the habit of seeking God daily. You will seek God daily. As Jesus, it was his custom. Because in that seeking is where your growth comes from. It's in that seeking that your sustenance is. You see, your daily sustenance, you see, there is a provision that is captured in your day to day. It's just like when you woke up in the morning, you go to your dad for chop money. Have you ever been in that situation before? When you are going to school, and you are two, how many of you had brothers and sisters that used to go to school that? When you go, does your father give your sisters money to you? Does he do that? But he knows that all of you are going to school. So I cannot go and take your provision for you. Go for your own provision. They said they seek him daily. Let's not joke with this thing called personal prayer life. Corporate prayer life is good. But our personal prayer life is very, very important. When you go back home today, have a scheduled plan. I said, if it is 10 minutes you can spare, do it. And I encourage that you do it in the rising of the day. Start the day with God. Your personal time, start it with God. Sometimes when I wake up, I'm so tired. But my 30-minute tongue speaking, let me vein diagro. I'll speak in tongues for 30 minutes. I can just be walking around. And when I'm done, you hear him talking. Do this. Consider this. Most of the messages I preach, it is out of my... These are my quiet time. Everything I teach you here, that's why I can't read books and come and teach you. Not that I don't read. I make quality time with God if it even cost me my sleep. I sat to prepare this message yesterday. And I started around, I think, 12. I finished around 3 a.m. And I slept. Israel was the one who woke me up today. He normally wakes up around 4:35, so I was expecting him to do that likewise. So wake up, he just did what he usually do, and I just woke up. You can see my eyes here. Because I was spending time with God alone. Not because I want to. If it is just message, I could have just go online and download it too. There are a lot of these things on online. But what I'm teaching is not on online. What I just taught you. What I'm teaching is what I have received from the Father as our personal communication that I've brought you. Spend time with God. Don't joke with it. It is for your own benefit. When things are... Don't let anything come first before your time with God. Your personal time with God. You are not a serious Christian. If you come to church for prayer meeting, but you cannot have your personal time with God, you are not serious. You are a joke. In fact, you are just an added weight because you are not bringing any quality on board. Your senses are not developed. So you are not able to pick information to even help us. I pray for you. You see, today, when you go back, if it is 5 minutes, spend it with God. Turn off your phone. Put your phone aside. Avoid every form of distraction. Say, God, you know my work schedule. I'm busy, but don't worry. Lord, can we do 10 minutes? I'm here. Start speaking in tongues. Start magnifying Him. Pray, 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 pray. Open up your spirit. Put aside your worries and problems. While you pray, wait for Him. Don't be in a hurry to go. Wait to hear Him. Let Him talk back. Then you see that there's a still small voice in you that will begin to tell something. Sometimes it's just a word. Sometimes it's a song that will come into your mind. Today when I woke up and I was praying in tongues, there was this old Pentecostal song that came to my mind. How many of you know that song? Now you know that song. Na me tumia ye ma menti wune kasa na metie misrewo ma menti is an old song. I don't remember the last time when I woke up then this song and I was just calm. Sometimes it's just a song and that will be the message and you see it to work for you. I pray for you. May you receive the benefit of personal prayer life. You will grow in the name of Jesus. You will walk according to the will of God. You will not miss the will of God for your life, because as you go to Him every day, He will minister to you. I pray that you will be sustained daily. The Bible said it is by the mercies of God we are not consumed. The arrow that flies at night and the terrors of night are the arrows that are flying in the day. I am telling you that it is the mercies of God. And the Bible said they are new every morning. I know that God will give you your daily bread and keep you from evil and lead you not into temptation. I pray for you as you woke up tomorrow morning and you spend that quality time with God. Let your provisions be met in the name of Jesus. May you hear God in the name of Jesus. May you know the will of God and appropriate it in the name of Jesus. I declare in the name of Jesus that may you be transformed. May you not be the same man or woman. The Bible said when Moses ascended on the hill and spent 40 days and 40 nights with God, when he came back down, the Bible said that the veil was used so that his face, people couldn't look into it. The man was transformed because of an encounter. I pray for you. May you encounter God and be transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. It can be only 15 minutes, but I know that there will be a transformation. For as we behold Him, we shall be like Him. As we behold Him, we shall be like Him. May people see you and see God. May people see you and see light. The Bible said, and the life was the light of men. Let your light shine so bright before men. That they will see the good works in you and give glory unto your Father. I pray that God will use you. The Bible said, and in the solitary of Jesus, He will pray all night. And when He comes down in the day, He will heal all manner of sickness. They didn't know that the secret to His success was the quality time you were spending with the Father. I pray for you that the quality time you spend with God will manifest in the things you do. At the workplace, they will see a change. An excellency will be seen in your work.
work, I pray for you that the quality time you spend with God, it will manifest in your work, that people will see that this is a man that has a good time with God. The people said David behaved himself wisely. The Bible said in the book of 1 Samuel that David behaved himself wisely, that even his enemies, they feared him. And you know why this man was that way? Because he was a man that spent quality time with God. He said, early will I see thee. I pant for you, I desire you. And therefore, whenever he comes down from that encounter, people see the wisdom of an angel. People see a man of all dimensions. I pray for you that you will be that so, and you will be likewise. That your quality time with God will yield the fruit. Rise up to your feet.
Just breathe the name upon me.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.